But we are in Ephesians chapter 6, going verse by verse. And this morning, beginning with verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. I do thank you, God, for your simple word. We've been studying it straight, it's simple, and yet so needed, so important, and powerful. I ask, God, as families here represented in this room and listening somewhere else or watching, God, help us to learn, help us to discern, help us to grow in our knowledge of your word and of you. And we need you, Lord. I pray especially we would grow in obedience. Holy Spirit, be upon all of us, myself, as we go through these verses in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been here a while. You may have remembered this. 2020, the whole BLM movement broke out so rapidly across our country. All these riots and fires. We're all glued to our TV screen watching what was happening. And just a crazy year, 2020. A local activist post on social media, they want to have a BLM march right outside of our building on Broad Street, starting there. Our city officials learn as they're involved that there's a real risk of violence. There's a risk of riots. It's at the very beginning of this whole BLM thing. I knew really nothing about it, except the city reached out to a group of pastors and said, hey, will you take part in this? We're concerned it's going to get violent, and if you guys could just be involved and help bring peace to it. Well, so this improvised stage gets put up, people gather, helicopter from one of the Boston News channels for an hour flying over our building with live video. State troopers are staged not too far down the road, and just in case. But thank God it was peaceful. And the way it worked out that these Christians were involved from different churches and so forth, so really there was a lot of pointing to Jesus the whole time. But I knew nothing at that time about BLM. None of the pastors did. It was just this thing that was breaking out. A few days after, I decided I want to learn more about the organization. I go to their website, and when I went to their website, I was shocked at what I read. But here, as I just read of the founders self-proclaim Marxist. Obviously, that, for Christian, puts up a flag. Self-proclaimed Marxists, and their stated goals. This has since been removed from their website, but this was what I read. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other's extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. They say they are wanting to disrupt this basic family structure that we've all known for history, and to come up more of this village sort of way of raising children. They also then on that page note their goal was to dismantle the patriarchal practice, which is just a shot at fatherhood, to dismantle the headship, the male headship and the home sort of thing. Well, you know, if you know much about Marxism, that is in fact the goal of Marxism. The goal of Marxism is to destroy the family. Do your research, go out, read Karl Marx, read some of his followers that came later, and some of the governments that come from that, but it's to destroy the family structure. Karl Marx saw the family unit as a unit of oppression, because in his view, men will oppress their wives, parents will oppress their children, and children will be taken to church, and God is the ultimate oppressor. So his view of a new world, Marxist utopian world, is we need to destroy the traditional family structure. And he believed if you did, all the oppression would end. It is for that reason that he and those that followed him, let's say Lenin, believed that women should work outside the home, because if women work outside the home, now the government have care of the children, and the government will instruct the children in the ways of Marxism, but also teaching against Christianity, creationism, you know, the Bible, theism, and so forth. Anyway, those statements that were there, I did not know that when we were part of what we were asked to. And then I read that, I'm like, whoa, I did not know this. And none of the pastors at that time, it was very early on. Now, since then, I start with that because it was such a bold too thing to read online that this is what we want to do. Since then, I'm sure many of you just know very well that you're seeing the accelerated advancement of Marxism, the cultural Marxist agenda in America. I noted not too long ago, at the beginning of this year, a book, I know a lot of people read it in our church, No Reason to Hide by Erwin Lutzer. And if you're wondering why it's so crazy out there, there is an agenda. You can read Lutzer's book, No Reason to Hide, and learn about Marxism and see why all this crazy stuff going on. There's actually an ideology behind it, and there's an agenda. Of course, there's many other good books also on it. Why do I start with that? Because what I just read, you and I, we're Christians. I hope if you're not a Christian, I pray you come to Christ soon. But we come and we open our Bibles and we learn, and then they're instructed from the Scripture. And there are all these lies out in that world that we're being confronted with, including this Marxist, let's dismantle the home, let's deconstruct America, let's do this sort of thing, change the roles, mess it all up. And then we come and we open our Bibles and God speaks. And what we see is God has designed the family. And God has given order to the family. And the family is this basic societal structure that is so essential to a healthy nation. If you can destroy or disorder the family, you will destroy or disorder a nation or a culture. You will break down the family, you will break down a nation. And William Bennett, some of you may remember his name, he was once the U.S. Secretary of Education. He said it this way, the family is the nucleus of civilization and the basic social unit of society. It's the nucleus. And research proves that the first form of community and government is the family. And so Aristotle, you can see he's often quoted for this, he summarized it correctly actually, in this way anyway. He said, family is nature's established association, or God's established association, for a supply of mankind's every need. And so, or everyday wants. So anyway, the family, so key. And there's a war against the family. And we go out this building in a moment and we are bombarded with all these thoughts about dads and moms and husbands and parents' rights, and you don't have that right, and the government and all this sort of thing. Here is the Word of God. We're Christian families. Very simple truths. Let's believe them, know them, and apply them. Note with me in verse 1, the words, in the Lord. In the Lord. And if you've been with us, we've been pointing this out in Paul's instruction here to our relationships. In the Lord. Notice in verse 4 then, he says these words, but bring them up in the training, but notice in the admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. That as we've been studying over the last couple of weeks, the focus is against the Lord, is again the Lord. The focus is Jesus. In my relationships now that as a Christian, I understand my place in Christ. What is my role before the Lord in this relationship? We noted earlier in the last chapter, the marriage relationship, how the wife to the Lord, as to the Lord, she is to perform her role. She is to submit to her husband, but as a Christian, as to the Lord. So she sees the Lord. The focus is the Lord in her relationship in that way. We then noted with the husbands in verse 25 of chapter 5, he says, just as Christ, the husband's role in the marriage, he is to love his wife, but love her just as Christ. Again, the focus is Jesus. We've gone through this. And now we see the same sort of thing, different words. And it'll continue on into the next week as we study the employer-employee relationship. But the focus is Christ. It's the Lord. What does he have? What am I to consider with him and my responsibility in this relationship? He is to be the focus ultimately. Now, when things are not easy, when things are challenging, when I have a relationship, parent-child relationship, that really test my human resolve. Again, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? What is my responsibility? And he gives very simple instructions. And so again, it's with that perspective. Now, we noted last couple weeks, the focus is the Lord, but the means is the Holy Spirit. Going back to verse 18 of chapter 5, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the way the grammar, the structure of the sentence, it leads right into submitting to one another. The fullness of the Spirit leads into submitting one another, that humility, that heart, and that leads then into the relationships that we're reading about. That as I am filled with the Holy Spirit, that gives me the means. I may have a difficult parent-child relationship. I then understand what God requires, but now I have the means. I have the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit upon me, and Him to work in and through me to help me to do these very things. So, young person here today, you got a situation with a mom and dad, and you're like, I don't like it, I don't want it, but you know the Lord. Here's God's instruction to you, and you have the means to do it with the Holy Spirit. Parent, you got this young child or teenager or whatever, and you're like, this is just so hard. Here's God's instruction to you. Here's what you need to do, and you have the means. You have the Holy Spirit within you to do what is here. So what we have here is the basics for a happy home, and it begins. It's very simple, isn't it? All this is so simple. First instruction, verse 1, it begins with, children, honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. That's the summary of it. And it begins in verse 1 specifically with, obey them. Children, obey them in the Lord. And then notice the words, this is right. You'll go out the door and go to the university, and you might be told by somebody in the high school, this is wrong. Truly. You might be told that. You might even be told, we don't even want the parents to know. And you're not going to do what your parents say. You're going to do what we say. And they're going to play. No, this is what the Bible says to the young person, to the child. Obey them, Lord. This is right. What is right? What is right is, children, obey your parents. That is what is right. Right? It states that, right? We're just being very simple with the scripture here. It is God's will. It is God's desire in the parent-child relationship that children obey their parents. This is what God intends. With that submission in their heart, they learn in the family structure, a child, this heart of submission and honor towards their parents. And the result of that is then obedience to their parents' instructions. And Jesus is the example. Jesus unto the Lord. We see in Jesus, In the Gospels, we get a little glimpse into his family when he's younger and the way he would honor his parents. Just read the scripture when he's younger and those years. But especially the way he is with the Father, the way he honors the Father and the Trinity, how he gives honor to the Father, even when it isn't easy. So, children, young people, here, teenagers, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Now, obviously, this is in the context of the home. You get older. I've got two daughters right now that we're within 2 weeks, and the way it's working out in our home, they're going out the door. One's moving to Europe. One's moving to the West Coast. We're going to be empty nesters. So this week, we moved into a new home, only 2 bedrooms. That's all we need now. But life is changing. So my kids, as they're going, I have adult children. It's different now. You know, if I call up and tell them not to do something, you know, don't go to the restaurant or stay at home, or they're adult children. They have their lives. I'm not going to do that. It's different in that context. But honor, they're their own lives now, but honor, the heart of honor remains. Our relationship changes, but they still are to honor, and I believe they do. It's this heart. Now, you know, you look out the world, when you go out the door, it's completely messed up today. In fact, it would seem in some homes, it's more like parents obey your kids. One pastor even took Ephesians 6:1, and here he said is the modern equivalent, parents obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home. And that's not what it says. And if you're a parent here, and that's the way you're doing it, it is not parents obey your children. It's children obey your parents. And that needs to switch. And you're not bringing peace. You're actually raising a miserable individual. They're missing a key element of instruction and development, and that of honor. And honoring the Lord ultimately in what they do. So, children, obey your children. Now, we live in a time, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul describes the day that we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And he goes on with a longer list. But he says perilous times, bad times, hard times, and included in the description of this end time, Paul writes, seeing into the future, a time where kids are rebellious, disobedient to the children, and we live now in that age because of all that has happened, where there's a pushing off of authority, going against authority. It's really quite striking. So we live in it, but that is not the will of God for you and I. In fact, it's a miserable life. The good life is this obedient life before God, honoring God. And Paul writes to the Colossian church. We noted that he says similar things to them in these instructions about relationships. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Children, obey your children." Excuse me. "Children," I didn't get enough sleep last night. "Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Children, obey your parents, he says, in all things. So it's similar instruction that he gives to the wives. Because he says to the wives, submit in all things. And then we noted the only exception would be is that, the attitude for the wife, it would be if the husband is leading her to do something that is sinful, contrary to the word of God. And we talked all about that, just that, you know, they're equal sexes and they're friends together, serving God together. We talked about all that, so I can't go in that today. If you want to better understand it, go listen to our previous study in it. And they will be posted online. But in that heart, children, young people, teenagers, in everything. Well, your parents are giving you instruction. You want to honor God. You want to obey God, so honor them and obey them. And that's what he says in everything, except when it goes contrary to the word of God. But he says, this is well-pleasing. You'll be pleasing. This is pleasing to God. God made the home. He has a purpose for it. He gave order to it. This is well-pleasing him. He says, in the Lord. So it's that perspective again. In the Lord, I'm a child of God. I'm in the Lord, my family, I want to show Christ to them. So teenagers that are here today, you could put it this way. Be Christ towards your parents. Be Christ. And maybe that just changes it because you love God and you're like, but man, I have a hard relationship with my mom. You love God, but wow, we got a strained relationship, my dad and I. Just the way we are in our personalities, be Christ to them. Be Christ. And Christ would honor. That's what he's saying. As Jesus obeyed the Father, even when it wasn't easy, he did it to the Father's glory. You just do this to God's glory. And if young people can learn to give glory to God in the relationships with their parents, they will grow that way now in life. And it'll be something that will be part of the way they are, you know, developing and growing when they interact with other people and other situations, other relationships, they will be more apt to consider the will of God in that relationship and glorify God. Now, the word obey is interesting. In the Greek, it consists of two words. Listen and under. Listen and under. And then, literally, it can say, listen and under your parents. Listen and under your parents. Or really, listen to your parents and do it. And I would think every parent here is like, please keep saying that because we get that through to my teenager, would you? You know, listen and do it. And I told him to take out the trash 70 times last week and it's still not done yet. No, listen and do it. Listen to parents and do it. It's an attitude where I serve the Lord at my house, listening with humility when my parents speak. I treat them with honor. I fear God. I'm growing in this love of God. I honor them and I give respect to them in my words, attitudes, and actions. And you see this in the biblical narrative. You see children, even as they get older with their parents, and now the relationship's changed, still giving honor to the patriarch and the father and the mother because of that attitude that has been growing in their heart. So, once more, young people, understand the deception. Understand if you can't honor your parents the way God says, you're then not honoring God. It's really what it comes down to. And if you can't figure that one out, how are you going to fare in life? How will you do later in another relationship? Now you have a marriage relationship. If you didn't learn it now in this relationship, will you learn what you're supposed to do in that relationship? It is a heart of surrender. It's a fear of God. I love God, and I'm going to do what God says. And in this relationship, as a child, God is saying, honor your parents. And as you do that, well, what will you do as a parent yourself later? You know, so it's clear. If you listen to what is prevailing, the prevailing attitude of the world, and if you define your life by that, you're going to have a lot of pain and confusion and frustration. And it'll be in the home, and then it'll be later as you get older with the spouse and the children. Learn today, teenager, to do things unto the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Do it. Do it now. Learn it. And take that with you as you go on in life, and it'll give you a strong, fulfilling life. Now, obedience, of course, is in this context, as we see in the four verses, there's a two-sided obligation. Children need to obey, but children can be disobedient. In fact, you never have to teach children to be disobedient, do you? That's not something. Let me tell you how to disobey. You don't usually have to do that. That's just kind of what they do. You know, we had three children, right? And we had to train them, as Paul is going to talk about in verse 4. Now we have a granddaughter. She's just, to us, she's just the best thing since apple pie. We just love her. Nobody had to teach her to disobey. We figured that out. It's just there, man. You know what I'm saying? She just knows how to do that. But you don't have to do that. But it's a two-sided obligation. The child is learning. It is also what we see as we go on to verse 4 in a moment. We'll get there. But it then also is something the parents, their part is to teach, instruct, train, and require obedience. That is also important from the parental side. Because children can be very disobedient, and it's not so much that you know, they are doing that just in and of themselves. It's also because the parents aren't doing their part. And are just following the ways of the world and so forth. You need, moms and dads, you need to teach your children how to obey. And obedience is the standard, and it's something you want. And you want to do it in the right way. So, parent, to teach your child to obey is also to teach them to obey God. And again, that is the powerful life, and that's truly loving them. You can't be truly loving your children if you're following the way of the world and just letting them do what they want. That is such a destructive thing to do. I was reading Warren Wiersbe, and he was teaching on these sort of things with a group of young people, and a young person came up to Warren Wiersbe after and just talked about her relationship with her parents, and that is, her parents never put any limit on when she did. She could do whatever she wanted, and she struggled in life. And listening to Warren Wiersbe share the scripture, and as a father and what he did with his children, she said to him after, "Hey, would you adopt me?" Because living with no guideline, living with no, she didn't need, what were the boundaries? There were no boundaries. She could do whatever she wanted. And later in life, you know, growing, understand how destructive that was, and wishing that mom and dad would have taught her, do not do that. There's consequences if you do. You're my child. You need to do the right thing, and I'm going to, in the Lord. So, Paul further, you know, obey, and then as you see verse 2, honor your parents, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your parents, which is the first commandment with a promise. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, 4 related to God, 6 related to our relationships with man. But the interesting, the Jewish people divided the commandments rather than 6 and 4 into 2 groups of 5. And they saw the law of your father and mother, honoring your father and mother, they put that with the various laws related directly to God. And they put that in that list, and the ones that related to man they had separate, because they saw this as a duty to God in that way. Now when he says honor your father and mother, what does he mean by honor? Well, just to be simple, to honor is to value. It is to revere. That's what it is, that you have an important part of my life, place in my life, and you deserve my respect, and I revere the position you're in and my life, and I give you honor. Now, when he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, we then understand why. Because as it says in verse 3, that it may be well with you. And you know, we just gave the example, right, of this gal that told Wiersbe, please adopt me. Because she wasn't given the opportunity and instruction on how to do that. And life goes a certain way. But when you're given those boundaries, and then you are also in wisdom growing, I'm going to honor my parents and honor God, it goes well with you. If we were to go through this sanctuary right now, and you know the older people that are here, and interview people, people that have had a stable, steady journey, that today they're older, and there's been a relative stability to what they've done step after step, and they have that sort of rest with them now. It's very likely you go back to the way they were raised, right? They were raised in a certain structure home and disciplined and trained, and they learned that, and they went out the door with that path. If we were to go through this sanctuary and interview people that have had a lot of hard, horrible, you know, they've been in and out of the jail and drugs and all kinds of mistakes and crazy things and just pain and frustration, so often it is also related to the fact that that wasn't part of those earlier years of their life. And they just went out in this reckless way, and it's continued. It's continued. Notice, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The promise is it'll go well with you. Learning obedience, it'll go well with you. You will, you, in that relationship, it'll go more peaceful in the home we serve. And then you go out with that, and that it'll go well with you. So, I think back when my kids were young, you know, I would just pray, oh God, I pray they learn to connect with you in our home somehow by the mercy of God. Because I know they'll be spared of evil if they learn here now the right things about authority and God. They're gonna be spared of a lot of evil in their lives. It's a good life. Now, notice too that you may live long on the earth. We started this morning considering Marxism. It is happening in a very accelerated, strong way around us. Destroy the family, reorder the family, deconstruct society, and what will happen is this society will not last very long. That is the goal, to just get America out of the picture, bring in some other sort of utopia, Marxist, worldwide, whatever. There is something very real that is happening. Deorder, you know, destroy, come against the family. God said, kids, honor your parents. If you do, if that is going on in the home, you will live long on the earth. Now, of course, in the context originally, it would be with the Jewish families, and that would be also related to their land. It is true. If my kids are growing up learning honor, then they go out the door and they establish a family, and their kids, we have a stable society. And we're growing, we're strong in the land. That is what he was saying to the Jewish nation. But now just to the church, spiritually, it is also true for our families. Now, if a young person, and he says live long on the earth, for a young person, if they die young and yet they were godly, that doesn't mean that they died because, they were disobeying your parents, you know, and it says live long on the earth. It isn't like you'll live long every time. It's just the principle. It'll go well. Your families, the generations will go well. But it isn't so much even the quantity of years I live, it's the quality of years I live, and it will go well in that way. To learn that humility, submission, I'll honor my parents, then I'll honor the other authorities that God brings into my life, including the police officer, including my employer. I'll have that, and it'll go well for me. Sin always robs us. Obedience always enriches us. Now, Paul goes from the children, and then he goes to the fathers, verse 4. Interesting, he doesn't mention moms. Why doesn't he mention moms? Why is it only dads? Same pattern in Colossians. He doesn't say anything to the moms, just the dads. I think a big part of it is the culture at the time. We'll talk more about it in a moment. But again, women weren't very valued, and the men were everything. I think that has a lot to do with that. But I think spiritually, and of course, the scripture gives value to women. We just noticed that. But spiritually, the man is the head of the home. And the man has an incredible amount of influence. And it is true of a man, if the head of the home is doing his part in the fear of God, it impacts the wife, the children. It goes a long way. They've done statistical, you know, studies where you take a non-Christian family and the mom comes to Christ, and then they compare that to the, you know, a non-Christian family where the dad comes to Christ, and statistically, when the father comes to Christ, in a much higher percentage the children come to Christ than when the mom, because of just the influence and the way a father is. And so he's speaking to the fathers. Fathers here, he says, bring up your kids in the Lord. And moms would be part of this too and included. And the instructions would be the same. Fathers, bring up your kids in the Lord. And in the first way he says that is, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath. When Paul writes to the church of Colossians, in Colossians 3 verse 21, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Same thing. And then he says it this way, lest they become discouraged. Don't provoke your children, fathers, or they will become very discouraged. You wonder here today, how many, even as adults that are here, that have become discouraged in your journey because of your relationship with your father. Sometimes a mother. But it is true. I mean, dads, we have an awesome responsibility. Moms also, you know, we've got these people that God has put into our care, and we are to be responsible. We're these instruments that God is using and helping form their lives. And what we imprint upon them can be things that are destructive and hurtful and harmful they carry with them. Or we can be faithful to the Lord, and God can use our lives to imprint the right things on them. We have an awesome responsibility. We need to keep in mind our children are not our own. And so I remember thinking when I was a younger father with younger children, my kids are adults now, but I did think this way because of the scripture. I would look at my little daughters and I would think, someday you're going to be an adult. I'd have this thought now and then. And when you're an adult, you and I will have coffee together and you will tell me what you think of me. And I just thought that's wisdom, because this little person isn't going to stay little. And they're going to become an adult, and they will have an opinion of me. And I need to be thinking about how I'm doing this. If I'm harsh, if I'm hard, if I'm selfish, or whatever. And they later will say, you are the most selfish person I ever knew. I don't want anything to do with you. You have to think about this, because the roosters will come home to roost, you know. You need to consider, even if your kids are little, they will become bigger people. They're not your own. The psalmist even says that our kids are lent to us, right? Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. They're a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift that has been loaned to us. And so may we be responsible, moms and dads and fathers, and not provoking our children to wrath, doing what we're instructed here. Because they're ultimately the Lord's. And considering this awesome responsibility of these lives and what we mean in their lives. Yes, obedience, we've studied, is important. But now what we're finding, the way that we do this is important. Their obedience, they learn that, but it is also the manner that I instruct them. Can be very destructive, very harmful, or can be very encouraging and very fruitful. The way that I do it. When he says bring them up, in verse 2, but bring them up. This ancient Greek word was originally used of bodily nourishment, where you would nurture your body, nurture your mind, nurture your soul. It had that bodily nourishment. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, in fact, the word appears there, but is translated nourishes. So, you know, it suggests that development by care, by painful, you know, focus and application, you know, where you're really trying to do it sincerely. It means also fondly. It has that, you know, I'm being faithful, to nourish, to, you know, I care for them and help them. I'm very focused. It's very important. This also says then our parenting should indeed be characterized by love. That I do hope when it's all said and over, when my kids are now adults, I hope they, you know, we do say all the time, all my three adult kids, all the time, I'll say, I love you, they say, I love you. We say it all the time. It's just very much part of our language. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, yeah, we say it, and I pray that my kids would also say that we show it. Our kids need to know that we love them. Our kids need to know that they're, you know, we're proud of them in that way, that they thrive in that. They need to know that, you know, by our actions, more than our words, that they're important in our hearts. Somebody said it this way, children spell love T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. Because kids need love in that way. They are treasures. We need to instill in our children as well as the children around us that they're important. I'm going to quote to you from Charles Stanley. I know he's in heaven. But he wrote a book a while back called The Glorious Journey. And in a section on that book on children and parenting, he encourages his number one of 7 points. This is what he says about raising godly children. Communicate and demonstrate genuine interest in what goes on in the lives of your kids. Communicate, demonstrate genuine interest. And I'll be honest with you, you know, my kids will tell you, my kids are my friends today. I'm the father. I did not parent them in a co-equal like we're friends. No, I'm the father, you're the child. But they just know I'd love doing things with them. I would think that's true of a lot of dads here. I love playing ball with Noah. I love going fishing with him. I love just hanging out with the girls, going on walks, doing whatever, doing ice cream. Recently, my adult daughters, we were going through, so the last 2 weeks, we just got in this conversation about all the vacations we've taken and trips, and we were just going through all the neat times that God has blessed us with. And I think, you know, in training our children, as Charles Stanley says, I pray your kids know that they're real important to you in that way. Now, they don't have the center of the home. They're not this, you know, the universe doesn't go around them. It goes around Christ. But yet you really do. He continues, says, to put this principle into practice, you must realize that every time your children ask for advice or share events of the day, they're basically saying, will you be involved in my life? Will you be on my team? I confess, I've had to think that at times. Because sometimes I'm like, I'm not ready for this, you know what I mean? And, you know, one of my younger daughters like, Dad, you're like, I'm tired or whatever. And then I've thought many times, I look at them, no, tell me, you want just me to be involved. Let me listen to what you have to say. So, yes, Stanley says that love includes to look and to listen. Your method of parenting should be communicating to your children that you love and accept them unconditionally. If you don't do that, you will discourage them, and possibly for many years. As I mentioned, I bet you there are people here. I know there was somebody I was praying for this morning that I know, because of the way I'm connected to them and their events in life, they're soon going to be with certain family, and specifically parents, and I am praying that God would restore, because there's been so much injury, so much, and this person is older than I am. And still carries just from just the relationship with the parents that to this day carries. William Bouzé II wrote this, dads to their sons. Your boy wants to know that he is worthy, that he is acceptable, that he measures up in your eyes, that he means something special to you. It takes so little to confirm him. Tell him that he's the greatest and back it up with your action. I think it's true as fathers. You know, dude, I just think it's so awesome that you're my son. I'm so proud of you, or my daughter. I just think you're so beautiful. And I've always told my girls, like, you guys are beautiful, man. I've got beautiful daughters. I tell them all the time. God is never too harsh with us. He loves us, and everything he does to us is from his heart. Now, this is revolutionary. You've noted this before, that when Paul writes what he does, it's good to put on your historical cap and go back 2,000 years. The way the audience would read this 2,000 years ago. This is revolutionary because of the in the Roman world, the power of the father. I'm going to read to you two things. A Roman father had absolute power over his family. He could sell them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields, even in chains. He could take the law into his own hands, for law was in his own hands, and he could punish as he liked. He could even inflict a death penalty on his child. Further, the power of the Roman father extended over the child's whole life. So long as the father lived, a Roman son never came of age, meaning the son is always under the authority and influence of the father. James Boyce, in his commentary on Ephesians 6, he writes this about the custom. Maybe you've heard this before, the Roman custom. When a baby was born, it was placed before its father. If the father stooped and lifted the child was accepted and was raised as his. If he turned away, the child was rejected and was literally discarded. Such rejected children were either left to die or they were picked up by those who trafficked infants. These people raised children to be slaves or to stock brothels. One Roman father wrote to his wife in Alexandria, "If good luck to you, you have a child. If it is a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, throw it out." So he says, fathers, do not provoke your children wrath. Do not discourage them, which would be revolutionary. Wait a minute. Yes, you need to consider that they are doing well and that they are loved. When he says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, the word training is chastening, if you have the King James. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's that word there where, you know, God says to us, don't be discouraged if God disciplines you. He chastens you just as an earthly father chastens his son, you know, because he loves his son. God loves you. That's why he's training you. He's disciplining you. And that's that word there. Training is that word discipline. It's the same thing. It's a corrective discipline. The word admonition has more of the idea of admonishment in the sense of teaching. And obviously you need the admonishment. You need the discipline. A lot of times the discipline is something you start earlier, and more it transitions to, you keep the discipline, but the admonishment, the training, the teaching. The Proverbs, Proverbs 29 verse 17 says, "Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight in your soul." You want to enjoy your relationship going on with your kids as you get older. You got young kids today, correct your son. Correct your daughter. As you do, you will have rest in that relationship. You are being faithful to train them. It will help the relationship. It will. They will learn to just, you'll enjoy it being together. They will respect you. If you have a relationship with a child that is instead very frustrating, and it's been that way, sometimes it's because a parent is not correcting their child. You may be, and sometimes you just have to pray through more of a stubborn child. But boy, to just keep training, disciplining, teaching, instructing, and doing that from age after age and they get older, rather than going, oh, I don't know where my kid is. My son, I don't know, he's drugging somewhere. Or I don't know where she is, all the things that she's been involved with. And rather than that, and sometimes it can still go that way, or you can have a prodigal. But the proverb says, if you train them, if you're faithful, the proverb says, well, the way it works, this general principle, is later you'll have rest. And go, we just, at my son's house having a barbecue, it was a good time, you know, sort of thing. So, Deuteronomy, God saying through Moses and instructing the Israelites before they entered the promised land, he said to them to instruct their kids. Many of you know this. You shall teach them. This is the word of God, the law of God. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on your doorposts of your houses and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land. So he said, these commandments, these instructions, write them on your doorposts. As you're walking, you know, just working in the field, whatever, going to the mall, just keep instructing, teaching, sharing the truths about God and Christ and wisdom. Keep doing these things and you will do well. So moms and dads, who are we listening to? listen to the world, this crazy hour, the lies where they want to just dismantle the family, and they belittle dads and belittle moms and all the things that they're doing out there because they want to deconstruct the American society because Marxism, of the foolishness of the basis of that, deception of that. Are we doing that? Are we, you know, it's true today in America. I mean, I'm thankful for the parents' rights movement. It's crazy. We have a parents' rights movement. It wasn't too long ago. You wouldn't even think such a thing because parents were, you were the authority not too long ago in America. What you said, that was what you did with your kids, and that came first. Today, because of Marxism, it's true. You can have your kid in the public school in Fitchburg. And now, no, you don't have the right. In fact, we're not even going to tell you. We have the right. And we will determine what they're going to understand. And of course, they're going to go, that's Marxism. That's the whole goal. Get rid of the family because they say the family is oppressive. The family is not oppressive. Yeah, people have been oppressive in all kinds of ways. No. But what God made and intended is here. Moms and dads, children, the way God made them. So I'm thankful for the parental rights movement that we actually have to have one. It's sad. But looking out for your children, you know, caring for your children, training your children, if you've got them in the public schools, which is a crazy world today, and I used to, you know, not long ago, think for many years, hey, you know, mom and dad, some families do public schools, some do Christian schools, some homeschool. You know, you're going to figure out your kid what is best. It's got so radical in the last couple years in public schools. I am so cautious. I encourage you, you got your kids in public school, you got to stay right on top of that. Because what has happened is this whole movement now where you don't have rights. Who cares that you're a parent? You can have a teacher that's going, I'm going to teach your child things that you would never approve of and you'll never know. And that, we can go through the book of Judges, the warning about leaving your kids with their kids, dwelling among them, and what happens later. God warns the nation of Israel. So be careful. Be wise. A good book to read, I've mentioned this many times, is the book Shepherding a Child's Heart. If you're a young parent here today and you know, that book, when I read it, was really very helpful for me. Before then, my wife and I, we'd got these little kids. We're training them to be good little kids. We want them to be good people. The book, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, kind of flipped it all around in a good way. And what it did is it changed the perspective. And the perspective is this. You're actually a believer who is equipping another God-willing believer. Your moments of discipline now become times of instruction. That actually your child isn't a bad child, your child is a sinner. And what you do now when you have times of discipline, these are opportunities to go, hey, you're just a sinner like me. And I've learned I need a savior. I've been learning that along. So you and I, this is what we got to do. You did that, you disobeyed mom and dad, you then disobeyed God, so we're going to pray together. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to get right with God. And yeah, there's going to be consequences. We've had this agreement. This is the way we're going to do this thing. But the cool thing is God forgives, man. And you come into that right place. It just completely changed my parenting. I do remember one time one of my daughters, I was going to discipline her. So we had gone into a room and we were going to do that. And she was very little. I don't know what she had done. But she got there first. And when I got there, she was crying. And I remember her saying that to me. She goes, I'm just a bad person. You know, she was just sitting there, little tiny thing. And I was like, no, you're not. Because I had read the book and I'm thankful. You're a sinner like me. That's what all we are. I mean, Jesus, man, he's good. He loves you. He forgives. And it just changed our parenting with our children. Tripp in his book talks about having an older teenager that did something that normally the parent would go, what? You did what? I am so upset and ashamed. But before meeting with the child, again, no, this is an opportunity to instruct them. We're going to have some form of discipline, but I get to minister to them about Christ, and it turned out to be a very powerful time of ministry to their son. So, parents, now, I've encouraged many parents in the past. We used to have parenting material in our church that we would go through, and we haven't used it in a long time. Maybe you're here today, and we're just going through this simply, but God is speaking to you, and your home is all kind of upside down. You haven't really been faithful as a parent with your child and the way God wants you to be. And maybe even a child here is being convicted, a young person, one way or another. You know, the cool thing is you can start today. And I've encouraged families at times when it's been a mess for a while, this is what you need to do. Mom and dad, if you're married, the two parents come together, figure out what the rules are, agree what you biblically what you want to see in your home and what is expected from the children. Get that worked out between you. Do that soon. Have a meeting with your kids. And now, with a meeting with your kids, explain. So everybody's on the same table. In fact, write it out. Put it on the refrigerator. Okay, this is what we expect. Tommy, you need to empty the trash on Monday. And Tommy, it's an instruction. If you don't, here's the consequence. Susie, we want you to do that. Yeah, just lay it out. And it's right there posted. And everybody agrees. And then what you do is Tommy doesn't empty the trash. You go, Tommy, come here. What does it say? Yeah. This is what happens now. This is what we're going to do. Because it's important that you learn to empty the trash when you're told. And you just do that. And you start parents disciplining, training, admonishing your kids. And you start doing that. And it'll bear fruit. And get moms and dads. Howard Hendricks said this: children are not looking for perfect parents, but they're looking for honest parents. An honest, progressing parent is a highly infectious person. It's true. We're not perfect, are we? And any parent could come up here, any kid could come up here, any of my kids could come up here and vouch for that. But if we're honest believers, seeking to follow God and train them in the way of the Lord, let's stand together, shall we? Father, we are getting ready to leave this building again, and we've just come in to continue to learn your word together. But we are going out to a world, and the young families here and families with kids at home, we are very quickly going to confront a different philosophy. We're going to be challenged about what it is to be dads or moms, what it is to obey, all these things. But I pray for the parents that are here, that they, unto the Lord, they would do train their kids up unto the Lord. They would keep you as the focus regardless. And I pray for young people, Lord. Maybe there's some that it's just a hard situation, the way it is relationally with their parents. And yet it's been hard, yet they know you, Lord. And maybe there's even anger or bitterness in their heart. I pray they would repent, and they would yet allow you to work through them. They could be Christ to their parent in the relationship. For a mom and dad that are having a real hard time with a child and their hearts are just struggling through it, give them wisdom, give them grace, give them just more of the Holy Spirit in this situation. Lead them in their prayers. I thank you, God. Keep our family strong here, Lord. Make them even stronger. And lead us as we go out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.